Dormammu, I've come to bargain.
I feel something.
You feel it?
Yes, I feel it.
That's the force.
Do you lay eggs?
What?
No.
Blow that piece of junk out of the sky!
Quite a lot's happened. You and I had a fight recently.
Did I win?
No, I won easily.
I am Groot.
I am Steve Rogers.
Traitor!
Who in the hell do you think you are?
I have spoken.
Hey guys, welcome to WDWNT Nerd Alert. I'm your host, Joe Hoberty. Joining me tonight is Fedra Eckers.
Hello, everyone.
And Jack McCarthy is off today. He's got an interview tomorrow, and we wish him the best of luck. So, on tonight's show, we'll be talking about the Spider-Man No Way Home trailer or teaser, whatever you want to call it, and also the last episode of What If. But first, I know Fedra has been plowing through the MCU movies, and she watched a few more movies recently, and I want to find out what they are, and I want to see what her impressions are of them. So, what were the movies that you watched recently?
So this week I watched finally Infinity Wars, and that was really great. It really summed up a lot for me. I've seen the trailer before, so I knew not to like Thanos. And yeah, he was pretty bad guy once you see fully the whole movie. At first I thought it was going to be long, but it wasn't. I think the whole narrative was so well written. I love all the characters in it. And I really like the variety of that, just bringing kind of everyone together, especially at Wakanda. And, you know, all of them fighting together was really just a great kind of moment. You know, kind of a one for all for one type of vibe. Mm-hmm. But it was really, like, the writing in it, I think, was also just very deep when, you know, Thanos is like the epiphany of this very egotistical, narcissistic way of thinking and saying that, you know, that it's okay. I want to wipe off, you know, half of existence, and that's okay, and that's needed. You know, then everything will be balanced and how it should be, is kind of his attitude. And and then you see like this one piece that, you know, even Gamora couldn't even figure out, that he actually loved her, and that like his greatest sacrifice was that, you know. And I mean, when I was watching it was almost like, well, does he really love her? Because out of love, you wouldn't sacrifice what you love. You would keep it and value it and cherish it. So I think the love of power was just far more outweighed that. But I thought that was just an amazing scene. And it also pissed me off incredibly, because I did not want Gamora to die that way. She's just such a badass that I was like, why?
With Gamora, I mean, he definitely favored her over Nebula.
Yes.
And when you do see, you know, the flashbacks of when she's a little girl and all that stuff, you do see that he has a soft spot for her. So maybe there was some kind of love in there. I mean, again, it's what's kind of cool about that movie. Well, first of all, the pacing is very good.
Yes, and I agree.
The story was written, because you said it didn't seem long. It was actually pretty long, but they just did such a great job, you know, just moving things. But what really made that film was Thanos, because he was such a great villain, because he was complex, because you could kind of understand what he was going for, you know, that
yes,
he wasn't fully bad. He was trying to do good. And I think that's what most people really enjoyed about the film, is that they really got the villain right, or they changed him to where we kind of had sympathy for him. So I thought that was kind of cool.
Definitely, I agree. I mean, everything about this film, I definitely want to rewatch it again just to see, you know, if I miss any, you know, little tiny details. But I mean, everything, like just the choreography of fighting, the effects, the music. I mean, really, it was full, hands down, amazing. I really loved it. I still like the, you know, Winter Soldier and Infinity War still, but for different reasons. But I think for everything to come together, they really did a fine job, because that's a lot of characters to keep track in one film. Mm-hmm. And I think the pace was just really well done.
And what about the Endgame?
I've not seen Endgame yet. So that's,
oh, I thought you did see Endgame.
No, that's the next step. And I still need to go back and watch Ant-Man. And I still need to go back and see Doctor Strange. Because I'm really curious to see that origin kind of film too. And then I want to do those two first. So I guess that I could just go to Endgame.
No, I thought you saw Endgame too. I thought you saw it back to back. I mean, again, I saw Endgame a couple of times. I loved Infinity War. I liked Endgame. So that's how I see it. I think Infinity War was just such a great movie. It's definitely up there. Like, I would say in the top three or four of the MCU movies that I like. You'll see it in Endgame. I'm curious to see what you think about Endgame and which one you prefer. But like I said, the pacing was so good in this one, and I felt in Endgame, it was kind of off. I won't talk too much about Endgame, but it is, you know, it is fascinating what they can do with these movies, with the three Avengers movies that you had seen, because you have to bring in a bunch of characters. And specifically for this one, not only did they bring in the Avengers, but they brought in Spider-Man and Doctor Strange and the Guardians. That's a lot of characters, and Black Panther, you know, to have on the screen all at once, and to give them the proper amount of screen time and also create character development. And I got to give credit to the directors for doing that, because they did a fantastic job. Because when you look at it, if you compare it to DC, they've always had problems with Batman v Superman and Justice League. And you would think that that would be easy for them, because the superheroes are very popular. They're different from the characters in Marvel, because they basically are gods except for Batman. But I guess in people's minds, they're a little more familiar with them. And it's just really weird that they never get it right with a group movie. Well, they did Suicide Squad. You still got to see the second one.
Yeah. Yeah. That's next in line too.
Yeah. Well, I give you credit for really, you're plowing through these movies. You're doing a great job.
Well, thank you. I got to keep up with you guys, you know? So I wanted everything to make sense, and I want to, you know, kind of put in my perspective of it, and really seeing a whole lot and really enjoying, you know, a lot of them. I mean, I think out of the ones I've so far rated, there's only been a couple that I like disliked. So, I mean, overall, I agree. Like, they're really good.
Yeah, they did a really good job. And when you think about it, I think there's like over 20 movies. Even the worst ones aren't that bad. They're actually pretty, you know, it's hard to rank the movies like in the middle. Everyone has their least favorite movies and stuff like that, but even the least favorite movies are not complete stinkers. Like, I gotta be honest, and I've said this before, my least favorite one is Spider-Man Far From Home. I just don't like what they've done with Spider-Man. We'll kind of get into that in a little bit, but it's amazing that it's been on such a run for 10 years, I guess over 10 years now. They've been making these movies, and they've been getting better and better and becoming like a financial money-making machine for Disney, because they're so successful. and everybody's been trying to copy it. Like, again, DC tried to play catch up. They rushed too much and they wanted to release their own version of Avengers. So they just shot through and went with Justice League. They didn't do individual movies to kind of, again, give us more character development and, you know, for us to get to know the characters individually. But they just saw that Marvel was making this big, big, big money. And I think, I could be wrong, but I think that the Endgame made $3 billion, which is pretty big. It was the highest grossing movie of all time. I think they recently re-released Avatar in theaters just to try to catch that up because it was close, and Avatar beat it recently. And China and Europe, they love that movie. I don't know why, but they ended up going to see it even during the pandemic. So I don't know. But it's fascinating. What would you say in this movie? Who's your favorite character?
I really bounced around. I mean, I am a very big, you know, Black Panther fan, but I also liked Thor, of course. And, you know, I kind of like that the Guardians of the Galaxy kind of made their way in it, and they kind of split up and they did their thing. So, I don't know. That's a tough call. I guess I would say the Guardians of the Galaxy, probably. I really liked how they split up and they came together, you know, at Wakanda. But I mean, I don't know, because there's parts where I like Thor and there's parts where I like Hulk. You know, I loved all the women, as far as, like, I can't remember her name, but the Wakanda general is like my favorite. Like, if I created an avatar of myself, I would want to be her and shave my head and do the whole thing.
You know? I can't pronounce her name. Ayoko. I forgot.
And I know that was like a whole like fancy female scene, but I loved it. I loved when they, like, all three women were like fighting that dark elf. It was really cool. I love that scene.
Wait till you get to the next one.
I mean, that dark elf was like scary. So very intimidating.
I would say my favorite character in the movie was Thanos. I felt like he made that movie, because again, like, it's
important. Yeah, I mean, everybody hates him. He's like the focal point.
But again, you hate him, but you're also, again, sympathizing with him, and you're like, maybe he's on the right path. You know, it's weird that they revealed after this movie was out. Now, the whole premise that Thanos wanted to do is he wanted to get rid of half the universe so that people wouldn't have to worry about going hungry. They wouldn't have to worry about, you know, overcrowding or whatever. But according to the directors, when he did the snap, he also eliminated half of the animals, half of the vegetation. So that doesn't make any sense. I think that was a mistake on their part.
No, I think that makes perfect sense. That's
how does that make sense?
Because it's half of humanity. And we as humans, like, we're so self-absorbed that we think it's just us, but no, that's half of the planet, and we're all connected, you know? Like, everything that we do is all connected. And I think that's what is a nice way of showing that, like, you know, hey, like, I know you were thinking about this, but you didn't think about everything behind that, you know?
But his main thing was kind of like, children will never go hungry again. So how is that possible if he removes half the food too?
Right. You know what I'm saying? Well, yeah, and I'm totally hearing you. It's just like his thought and his intention is not what's behind the consequence of that act, because I guess he's not thinking through that when you make that snap, you're killing off everything. You know, it's like, I know this is a very bad example, but I'm just going to, because that's what's coming to my mind, is like with Star Wars, when they just start killing the whole planet, you know? It's like, yeah, they wanted to really just terrorize and just get rid of the people. But, you know, they were just like, well, why don't we just do it quicker and just blow up the whole planet? You know, it's almost that kind of, that's how I'm seeing it, where I don't think he realized that. That's, it's also what was kind of very, like, almost perplexing for me, is that he had to achieve the gauntlet, gather all the Infinity Stones, take off half of humanity, and then he could sit down and watch a sunset and be at peace. That is what blew me away. It was like, okay, that's what it takes for you to be peaceful. You know, like you and me, we might have a drink, you know, like get a massage and just watch a sunset, you know. He's like, no, I have to take out half of humanity. Then I'll be all right.
But again, it's funny, at the end of that movie, I didn't hate him.
Really?
No, because I really felt in his mind he thought he was doing good. I guess it was his execution. If he could have been a god and all that stuff, there were better ways around what he was going to do. But again, it's such a great movie. It's like from beginning to end. The only thing that I didn't like at the time is that we really didn't see the Hulk. We saw him in the beginning and he stayed within Banner. I think that was really cheap on their part, because I would have loved to see the Hulk in battle. Like, they originally, he was supposed to be in the Hulk Buster. Well, Banner was. But he was supposed to burst out of the Hulkbuster. And that would have been so cool. I just don't understand, after seeing these two movies, why they kind of made the Hulk look like a scaredy cat, that he was afraid of Thanos, that he was afraid to fight. And they still don't really explain it in the follow-up movie, which I thought was really dumb. That was my real only complaint. And as usual, I don't like Don Cheadle as War Machine. I think he was the weakest part of that movie. I think he sucks. I was such a fan of Terrence Howard in the first Iron Man. He would have been a great War Machine. I always say this all the time. And then they replaced him with some guy. He's just too skinny. He's too puny. I was a big fan of War Machine in the comics. He should be kind of buff, like Idris Elba would have been a great War Machine. Like when you see a War Machine, see, it's bad. I get these brain farts every now and then. I can't think of his name. Rhodes.
Yeah, Rhodes. Yeah.
When you see Rhodey walking down the street, you're intimidated. You're not intimidated when Don Cheadle comes down the street. Plus, he's too old. In the comics, he was younger than Tony Stark. I just don't understand the casting. It just really frustrates me. So him and the Hulk are my biggest problem in that movie. But again, it's just amazing that they, like, even the first Avengers movie, it was such an experience, because they all had different movies, and some of them were from different production companies too. Like the Hulk was from Universal, and then the other ones were from Paramount, and that they were able to get all of them together on the screen. It's never been done before, you know. It might have been, but I think that it wasn't to this scale. It's kind of like if you brought Rocky and Rambo in the same movie, something like that, you know, like where nobody expected it to ever see something like that, especially the way Marvel was back then, because Marvel was going into bankruptcy, and that's why Disney doesn't own all the Marvel properties. And it was a lot worse years ago. They were able to get Captain America. They were able to get Thor. They were able to get Iron Man. Those were their big ones that they had, but they didn't have Spider-Man. They didn't have X-Men. They didn't have Wolverine or anything like that. And they didn't have the Hulk. But what little they had, they did such a great job with Captain America, Iron Man, and Thor, that it was just a money-making machine. And again, the accumulation of all of them in Avengers was just fantastic. It was a great movie. And this, I think, I don't know, it's tough. It might top it. It's really hard. Every time I watch those movies, I really can't tell which is the superior movie. But to think that not only did they get the Avengers together, but they got Guardians, Doctor Strange, Black Panther, Spider-Man. I'm probably forgetting a few too, but it's crazy, you know, that they were able to do that. And I'm curious to see what you have to say about the next one. So I hope you see that next.
Yeah, definitely. That's the plan.
All right. I can't say. Charlie was going to mention, he wanted me to ask you a question, but I thought you saw Endgame, so I'm not going to ask you about it.
Next time, yeah.
Next time I will ask you for sure. All right. So let's see. What are we up to now? Oh, okay. So there's really not too much news going on this week. So we're kind of just going to go over the latest episode of What If, like I said, and also the trailer for Spider-Man No Way Home. So let's get to that. Spider-Man No Way Home.
Oh, look at this. This is a good one. Some suggest that Parker's powers include the male spider's ability to hypnotize females.
Stop. Come on.
Yes, my spider lord.
Can we just, like, stay up here all day? It is so crazy down there.
That's right, folks. Spider-Man is, in fact, Peter Parker.
Listen, I did not kill Mysterio. The drones did.
The drones that are yours.
Does any part of you feel relieved about all this?
What do you mean?
Now that everybody knows, you don't really have to hide or lie to people.
For the record, I never wanted to lie to you. But how do you tell someone that you're Spider-Man? Now everybody knows.
But this isn't about me. This is hurting a lot of people. I've just been thinking about how to fix all of this.
So, Peter, to what do I owe the pleasure?
I'm sorry to bother you, sir.
Please, we saved half the universe together. I think we're beyond you calling me, sir.
Okay, Steven.
That feels weird, but I'll allow it.
When Mysterio revealed my identity, my entire life got screwed up. I was wondering if maybe you could make it so that he never did.
Strange.
Don't cast that spell. It's too dangerous. Fine. I won't.
The entire world is about to forget that Peter Parker is Spider-Man.
Wait, everyone? Can't some people still know?
That's not how the spell works.
So MJ's gonna forget about everything we've ever been through?
Stop tampering with the spell.
Oh my God, Ned, he's my best friend. Oh, my Aunt May should really know.
Stop talking.
Happened.
We tampered with the stability of space-time.
The multiverse is a concept about which we know frighteningly little.
The problem is you trying to live two different lives. The longer you do it, the more dangerous it becomes.
Be careful what you wish for, Parker.
Hello, Peter.
So, what'd you think of that?
I thought it was great. I'm very excited, actually. I really liked the intro. I can't remember. Dr. Octo. Yeah, Dr. Ock. I mean, right at the end there, I was just like, what? So I don't know how that's going to spin and everything. But I mean, the whole idea of like this multiverse and, you know, Spider-Man asking for something and not again, kind of like Thanos, not realizing what the consequences are, maybe like, I don't know how and where it could go. But I'm definitely psyched to see what happened. Unlike, you know, how you were saying about Far From Home, I really like the newest Spider-Man movies and I liked the Tobey Maguire ones. I have not seen Andrew Gar
Garfield's.
Yeah. Yep. I haven't seen his, so I do need to see those, but I'm down to see what could happen. What did you think?
So I think, I mean, we knew that, well, I knew it was coming, and I'm not going to lie. I look at some of this stuff online. I know it's going to happen. So the stuff was leaked on Reddit, and I knew exactly what was going to come step by step with the trailer. So I wasn't too surprised. I was a little disappointed because after all this time, I was kind of hoping to see Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield. They keep denying that they're not in the movie, but there is way too much proof that they are in the movie. So I'd love to see them. I'm sure we're going to see them in the next trailer. Sony is notorious for spoiling their movies. Like the ones for Andrew Garfield, the Amazing Spider-Man 2, they basically showed you the ending. The two endings, they showed you when a character died, and they showed you the very end of the movie in the trailer. It was insane.
Yeah, that's not good.
They are so bad with their trailers. I think they did that with Venom. Most of their movies that they do, Sony, they just reveal too much. And they did, they did it with Homecoming too, with all the Iron Man reveals, like him. They show you him helping Spider-Man rescue the ferry. They didn't have to show that. It would have been nice to see it in the theaters.
I agree. Yeah, that was a huge scene. Oof.
Yeah. So, I was a little disappointed. I got some problems. There were things that I did like. I mean, I liked hearing the Green Goblin's voice. I liked seeing Alfred Molina as Doc Ock at the end. But I got a problem, and I always have had a problem with Peter Parker and how he's portrayed in these movies. They always portray him as a dingus, and he's very intelligent. He's like at a genius level, really. Like they even show you in the movies, like he's able to do calculus and physics, and he created his own webbing and stuff like that. So he's a very smart individual, but he lacks common sense. And it's just so obvious in all the movies and in this trailer. And that's what really annoys the hell out of me. And this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to kind of get into some potential spoilers that I have read. I hope you don't mind, because it's potential. We don't know for a fact that this is going to happen. But what I'm going to do for the listeners is I'm going to mark it to where it's over. I'm going to say I'm going to start here, and then I'm going to just, guys, let you know. Just fast forward to this. 30:31, and we'll be done with the spoiler talk. So basically, starting now. So what I had read like over a year ago was basically what they were doing with this movie is they're opening the Spider-Verse. And it seems like it's going to plan according to the trailer. Now you hear the Green Goblin and you see Doc Ock and all that stuff. So what happens is Doctor Strange unleashes all of these villains because of what Peter had done. He kind of screwed up the spell. But what annoys me is, like, you remember Far From Home with Mysterio, right?
Yes.
Peter too easily just handed over Tony Stark's glasses to him. He only knew him like for maybe a couple hours. And I don't know why they kind of portray him in that way, that he's almost too accepting, too gullible, I would say is the word. So apparently in this movie, No Way Home, he speaks to Green Goblin, Willem Dafoe, Norman Osborn, and Norman Osborn tells him, look, in our universe, we were all killed by Peter Parker. And if we go back to our universe, we're going to die. And so he convinces Peter to free them all because Peter feels guilty. And I'm like, why is he always doing that? That he just is so damn, or they make him look so gullible that he's not too smart, that he's got, he lacks common sense. And if, again, we don't know for a fact that this is going to be how the movie goes down, but it does seem like that's what's going to happen. And what they're going to do is, since like all six of the villains, since there'll be about six villains, since they'll do the Sinister Six, they're going to need to recruit Tobey Maguire Spider-Man and Andrew Garfield Spider-Man to help fight them, capture them, and bring them back to their own universe. And I'll just leave it at, there's more spoilers, but I won't go in anything more. But again, that's what I didn't like. All right, done with the spoiler part. So we're back. The thing that bothers me too is that Peter seems kind of selfish in this thing, where he kind of asked Doctor Strange to help him out so that people forget that they learned that he's Spider-Man. But then when he's saying the spell, he's like, oh, but I want Mary Jane to still know that I'm Spider-Man so that nothing changes with her. Oh, and my friend Ned, and also Aunt May. And it just annoys me again that he lacks common sense, or he's just a goofball. And Spider-Man should be on the top tier of all Marvel heroes, because he is throughout the world. When people think of heroes, superheroes, they think of Superman, Batman, Spider-Man, maybe Wonder Woman, Wolverine, but those are the top three basically. And they just treat him like he's a little kid. He's bullied around by either Iron Man or Nick Fury and his team, or Happy Hogan or Tony Stark. And I'm just getting tired of it. And it seems like it's going to be repeated in this movie. A couple of things. I don't know if you noticed. It's hard to notice. I wouldn't have noticed unless they picked this out. I didn't read it in the internet. So we did see Doc Ock at the end, and we saw the pumpkin bomb from the Green Goblin, and we heard Willem Dafoe's voice. So we know those two are coming back. But Spider-Man has a group of villains, and they're called the Sinister Six. And so that's two villains. The other villains that are coming, and it's already been revealed, is that Jamie Foxx is returning as Electro, and he was an Amazing Spider-Man 2. So that's three. In the trailer, you do see lightning bolts at one scene, and it looks like it's about to strike Spider-Man. And then a wall of sand comes up, and that's Sandman. And Sandman was in Spider-Man 3, the Tobey Maguire one. So that's four villains right there. He's also attacked by something, and it's in the dark. And that, they say, is Lizard, who was in Amazing Spider-Man 1. So it basically leaves just one villain out, and I hear that it's probably Rhino. Rhino was in Amazing Spider-Man 2, but you never know. It could be Mephisto. I doubt it's going to be Vulture, because I think Michael Keaton is busy making the Flash movie, playing Batman again. But I am excited, but I'm also very cautious, because I love about Spider-Man movies. I like Tom Holland. I think he's a great Peter Parker, and he's a great Spider-Man, except, like I said, he lacks common sense. I like Ned, his best friend. I think that they work really well together. They usually do a good job with the villains. I like the costume. But there's just something that the director just doesn't get right at times. And that's what worries me, because it's the same director that did Far From Home is now doing this. And even though he's been granted this treasure trove of characters from other Spider-Man movies, he can still mess it up. And I would not be surprised if he does. Hopefully he doesn't. I know I'll probably just flip out the moment I see Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield on screen with Tom Holland for the first time. But hopefully it's good. But I don't know. I still have my doubts, though.
I mean, do you think that majority of this attitude about Spider-Man is just because they're taking it from him being in high school and like finishing high school, and maybe like once, I don't know, he goes to college or he just, you know, however they put it, he becomes a man's man, that maybe that's when they'll treat him more seriously?
It could be. I
see that kind of naiveness that you're talking about when he's making the wish, because he's kind of like, well, I want my family to know, but I don't want anybody else to know, and I don't want anybody else judging me. And it's kind of this kind of back and forth of like caring what other people think and not, which a lot of people in high school, you know, they go through that. And I don't know, because I've seen a lot of those topics come into these films. So that's kind of where I take it, because I agree with you. I don't like it. But then for the age that he is, it makes sense. He's a genius, but at some point he doesn't have the common sense because he's still developing.
Well, I'll say most of the Spider-Man comics that I read when I was younger, he was more of an adult Spider-Man. He was in his 20s. He had his crap together and he basically was on his own. Spider-Man, again, he was the top tier of Marvel Comics. He was the number one guy. Everybody else bowed down to him. Although, you know, again, he was solo. He worked in Manhattan and stuff like that. He had the best villains too in Marvel Comics. He just was so damn popular. It was a combination of his costume, his relatability, his powers and all that stuff. But the problem that the MCU has with Spider-Man is they don't own the rights to Spider-Man. Sony does. So they have to work with Sony, which is great that they made a deal with Homecoming and with Civil War for Spider-Man to appear in the MCU. And Marvel is basically writing the character or helping to write how the character interacts with the other MCU characters. But he's basically being portrayed as this young kid that is like Robin to Iron Man, like in those movies. And he's not his own character. There was like when Spider-Man in the original comic books, I think he was about 16. He was in high school at the time when he got bit by the radioactive spider. And he had to go against the big villains like Doc Ock and Green Goblin, Vulture, stuff like that. But again, he seemed very adult, even at that age. He had the, and this is usually what happens with Spider-Man. He has more confidence when he puts the mask on. So he jokes around. And he's a different person. And, you know, Toby, I'd say all of them kind of have that. And even Tom Holland does. But it's just that all these other superheroes kind of know that Tom Holland's Peter Parker or Spider-Man is Peter Parker, that they kind of push him around a little bit. They don't have the respect for him that he should have as a superhero. Because when you look at it, he's got real powers. Tony Stark doesn't have real powers.
Right.
You know, Captain America is a super soldier. Black Widow doesn't have powers. Hawkeye doesn't have powers. He's a real superhero. And like I said, I just wish that they didn't treat him that way, that he wasn't like dying for attention. It's like, look at me. Can I help, guys? And they're like, now we're good. We're good. I just don't like how they treat Spider-Man in the MCU. And that's it, basically. They're never going to listen to me. They haven't yet. But we'll see. I'm very critical of, I'm a lot more critical than Jack is of these Spider-Man movies. But there's always hope. I mean, I'm definitely looking forward to this the most this year out of all the movies that are coming out. And out of all the Marvel movies that are coming out, because again, we got Shang-Chi's coming out, like I think next week, and Eternals. And then after that, it's Doctor Strange and Thor. But the Spider-Man one is really the one I want to see. And just to see the three of them together on the screen, oh, it'd be awesome. And what's funny too is that they didn't have the best exits, those actors. Like Tobey Maguire had issues with the producers of Spider-Man. He almost didn't come back for the second one. He didn't show up on the set. He was blaming back injuries, and they were going to replace him with Jake Gyllenhaal. And then he came back. Because those movies were successful. They made three of them. And the third one was not the best one, but it still was successful at the box office. But Sony decided, you know what, we've had enough. They weren't getting along with the director, Sam Raimi, too. And they said, let's just go in a different direction. So they brought in Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man. And I think it was maybe a little cheaper budget if you look into, if you adjust for like inflation and stuff like that. But he screwed up. So when he was making Amazing Spider-Man 2, he was going out with Emma Stone because she was in the movie too. She was playing his girlfriend. So they fell in love in real life. And Sony is a Japanese company. And the executives at Sony came to, I guess, Hollywood. And they were going to have a meeting, you know, with the Hollywood side of Sony and the director and the stars. And Tom Holland didn't show up. Andrew Garfield didn't show up. And that pissed off. It was very disrespectful to the Sony executives in Japan. And after that, they were like, let's just end it. You know, we really don't want to have anything to do with him because he disrespected us. And so they just ended those movies. And, but it's interesting that they're both coming back because of their past. That's what I'm most surprised at, that not only are the two Spider-Mans coming back, but those actors are portraying them. And again, they had a lot of bad blood with Sony. So I think that's friggin' awesome. Is there anything else I wanted to mention? Oh yeah, Doctor Strange. He didn't seem like Doctor Strange. He was too quick to grant Peter his request, which I thought was very reckless. And he had to understand the repercussions of what could happen. Wong had warned him, so it's kind of bizarre that he would do something like that, knowing that something like this could happen. I mean, in the previous, in Infinity War, he was very specific about whether to do some things because he was afraid what those events would lead to. So for him to just say, yeah, okay, I'll just create the spell where everyone will forget who you were, although there could be a problem, but we won't worry about that for now. I think that was kind of weird. Also, I don't get, it's been 6 years and they still haven't fixed the hole in the Sanctum Sanctorum. That's kind of weird. I think that's about it. So, all right, let's get into What If. So did you see the latest episode of What If?
I did.
All right, what'd you think?
Well, I agree with you. I think Jack's going to like this one because I liked this one. I still think the animation from the first episode was the best. But the reason why I liked this one, it had good flow. I think the overall writing was pretty good. I'm still a big fan of Fury, so I don't know. I just liked watching Fury in this, to be honest. I also liked the... Sorry, I'm having a brain fart, so I'm I'm losing it too.
Black Widow?
Yeah, I mean, she was all right. It was kind of weird to hear a different voice, but I think that was played off pretty well. Like, I didn't feel like it was too
surprising.
Yeah, but it was a good one. But no, it was more of just the, and maybe it's because I haven't seen Ant-Man, that like that whole thing about it being Ant-Man at the end, I was just like, huh, okay. It wasn't something that I saw coming. So maybe that's why I liked it, because it was such a big surprise. I don't know if you can fill me in on how maybe they spinned that. But like all like the Avengers just gone and dead. And it was just like, wow, like over, you know, Ant-Man's daughter. It was like, okay, kind of different. But I don't know, just overall, like this felt more grounded. It just felt good dialogue. It had a better flow, definitely, than the other two.
Yeah, I really like this one. This is my favorite by far. It was a little weird, I got to say, from someone that's seen Ant-Man in those movies. So he's not a bad guy in Ant-Man. He's a good guy, actually. And so it's kind of weird that he would do something like that. Like, his daughter doesn't die in the MCU. But again, this is What If.
Right.
They didn't really tell us that his daughter died. And that's where I have a problem with this one, though, is that it was a murder mystery, which I thought was kind of cool that we got one of those for a What If. And it kept you guessing. You kind of like, well, who is doing this? I thought it was either Black Widow or Nick Fury at first. But my problem with this is that they didn't really tell someone like you or me who could it have been. Like, you couldn't figure it out. Like, if it's a good murder mystery, you should be able to figure out who it is, or kind of he would be on, maybe not on your radar, but he would be there. So I thought it was kind of a cheat that they made it Ant-Man, or in this case it was Yellow Jacket, because he really wasn't shown. Like, we didn't see Hank Pym as a character, you know, outside of his Yellow Jacket persona. Like, even if he had met with Fury, or if he was leaving his office, or talking to Black Widow, he still could have been a suspect. But we basically didn't have a suspect, because
we never saw him.
Yeah, it was kind of BS. It's like, was the first one, was it Thor? Was he that? Oh no, it was Iron Man was the first one.
Yes.
And then it was Thor. Then it was Hawkeye. Then it was Hulk, Black Widow. Would he really do that? Would he really kill all of those superheroes? Wouldn't he want to kill Nick Fury, who is head of S.H.I.E.L.D.? I mean, what did they have to do with his daughter's death? Because apparently she worked for S.H.I.E.L.D. and I guess she died during some sort of mission or something like that. So it really doesn't make much sense. Also, when Black Widow finally realizes that it's him, she says it's all about hope. Why didn't she just say it's Hank Pym?
<You know>? Yeah.
Because she said it twice. She said, it's all about hope. It's about hope. You know, say it's Hank Pym. It's Hank Pym. So that was kind of corny in a way. They brought out Loki, and they I like that he was back as a bad guy, and how it ended, where he basically took over the world, and Nick Fury eventually finds Steve Rogers frozen. And then there's Captain America. I'm sorry, Captain Marvel, who he'd met, I guess, in the 80s. So that's the start of the new Avengers, you know, the two of them, Captain America and Captain Marvel. So there's hope, you know, for the world with those two superheroes. Now the main ones are gone, but That's a tough one, though, when you think about it, because they don't have Thor. They don't have Hulk. They don't have Iron Man. That's going to be a rough fight against Loki, which is Captain America and Captain Marvel. Even Captain Marvel, she's pretty overpowered. So she might have a pretty good chance with Loki. But Captain America, be a little tough. What I thought was interesting, again, and I had mentioned this to you guys, was the voice cast. So it's sometimes they do a really good job and you don't realize that they aren't actually the actor that portrayed them in the movies. Now, Samuel L. Jackson, he was Nick Fury in this one. He's kind of hard. He's very distinguishable in it. But Scarlett Johansson was not back, and they replaced her with a voice actress, which I thought was weird that she didn't sound similar to Scarlett Johansson, which makes me wonder if that was intentional. Now, I know they filmed this a while ago, but who knows? They might have, maybe she did do voice work for it, and Disney was just so irritated with her recently that they're like, you know, we don't want her. You know, in this, like, let's just replace her with another voice actress, and we want her to be so different that people will know that that's not Scarlett Johansson voicing it. Because if you look at it, so the guy who played Tony Stark, do you think that was Robert Downey Jr.?
No.
You didn't think that was Robert Downey Jr.?
No, I didn't.
I thought it was.
I'm not sure, but.
But it was. I mean, it wasn't Robert Downey Jr., but it sounded like him to me. I mean, I thought it was pretty close. Clark Gregg, who plays Coulson, he was Coulson.
Yeah.
Frank Grillo, who was in The Winter Soldier, he eventually plays Crossbones in the, Ultron. He was in Ultron as Crossbones. He voiced his character. Jeremy Renner voiced Hawkeye. I don't know if Thor talked, but I know that Chris Hemsworth is back for an upcoming episode where he'll voice his character. Tom Hiddleston was Loki. He voiced Loki. And Jamie Alexander voiced Sif, which again was a surprise that they were able to get her to come, although she was in the Loki series too. We didn't hear Chris Evans because they still hadn't found him, but he was in the previous one, the Captain Carter one, but that wasn't Chris Evans. But again, it sounded like him. Like, we really thought that was Chris Evans, but until I looked at the cast at the end. So yeah, I don't know if they're playing games with Scarlett or what, but you never know. All the other ones, Mark Ruffalo. So Mark Ruffalo voiced Bruce Banner in this one. William Hurt did not voice General Ross. Michael Douglas voiced Hank Pym, which I was surprised too.
Hmm.
He was an Ant-Man, and he played Hank Pym. Liv Tyler originally voiced Betty Ross in The Incredible Hulk. That wasn't Liv Tyler. That was actually a very different voice too. So that my thing has kind of fallen apart, because Brie Larson didn't voice Captain Marvel, and that was a completely different voice. Anyway, I thought it was kind of fun to see the characters who voiced them and who didn't. I thought it was a fun murder mystery, but they didn't provide us with enough clues for us to solve it. That was my main problem. I thought it was kind of a cheat to make it either an Ant-Man character or a Yellowjacket character. I've never been a fan of S.H.I.E.L.D. in the movies, in the comics. I always feel like the Avengers should be free. They shouldn't have to answer to anybody. And it wasn't like that in the comics when the Avengers first came together. It wasn't S.H.I.E.L.D. that was behind it, or Nick Fury or anything like that. But I guess in the movies they had to do it because they had to find a way to bring them together, and it makes sense. But they make me sick. Anytime Nick Fury's in a movie, and again, I love Samuel Jackson. I like him in all the Quentin Tarantino movies, but I could do without him in any of the Marvel movies. I can do without anybody from S.H.I.E.L.D. in the Marvel movies. but I don't know. The one thing I had mentioned to you guys, you know, you and Jack, and I don't know if this is just me looking into too much, was Coulson, the character Coulson. I thought it was kind of weird that he made such a big deal about Thor's hair and the way he looked and that it smelled and that he stayed behind to smell Thor's dead body's hair. And then when Black Widow was asking for the password and he said, it's I heart Steve, heart Steve. To me, that kind of implies that, you know, he's gay. And in the movies, he's not. He's got a girlfriend in Portland. I don't know how things went in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but I just don't know why they had to make that little change to his character. And again, I think it's the writers that are kind of pushing things that they feel are important, but in reality, they're not, you know?
Maybe it's like, again, like a what if, like what if instead of him being straight, he's gay? Because to me, I thought it was just comic relief of him just like,
I would have thought that the hair thing was comic relief, but
yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah.
But the I heart Steve, heart Steve.
Yeah, that I didn't even catch. So it's good that you mentioned it.
Well, when she asked, when she was on the computer, she goes, I need your password. And he's like, I don't want to give it to you. And then she goes, I need it. The world's in danger. And then he says, all right, I heart Steve, I heart Steve. It's like, when when he said that, I was like, all right, they're pushing him in a direction that I know he's not in the movies. But you make an excellent point. This is a what if, and maybe that was one of the things that they changed. And, you know, again, they killed off the daughter without us knowing about it, and she wasn't killed off in the movies. Hank Pym wasn't a crazy lunatic in the movies. So, yeah, maybe that is part of it. Still thought it was weird, you know?
Yeah. I can see the difference in the character there. I mean, for me, I only thought it was comic relief, honestly. I didn't think it was like, oh, is this going to go forward in other episodes? I didn't even think of that. I just thought it was just a way to kind of shake things up and make it different in the episode.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't major or anything, but it's kind of like the Loki thing. It's they really didn't have to do it.
Right.
And I feel like they did the same thing with this. It just didn't make sense, but it's almost like I feel like they're like, oh, we need to do this because we have to show representation. And again, I'm just not crazy about them changing characters, you know, race, gender, or sexual orientation. But like you said, it could have been what if. I thought, did you ever see The Incredible Hulk, the movie with Edward Norton?
Yes, I did.
So that is this Hulk. And what happened, Edward Norton was going to play the Hulk, but he got a big head. He had problems with the producers. He was rewriting the movie as it was going on. He was kind of directing the movie as it was going. And then they were like, after the movie was finished, they're like, all right, we got to cut this guy, you know, loose because he's just going to be a big problem. So when they brought the Hulk back for the MCU, they replaced him with Mark Ruffalo. And I liked Edward Norton as Bruce Banner. I can't stand Mark Ruffalo is the Hulk because for me, he's got that voice. It doesn't scream intelligence. I know that's probably stereotyping, but he almost has like a Sylvester Stallone voice, you know, yo, idiot, you know, like when he talks. And I don't picture Bruce Banner being that, like that, because, you know, he reads, like when he says very intelligent scientific equations or something like that, Mark Ruffalo, it's like, yeah, he sounds smart, but he doesn't sound smart, is what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely. I see that vibe. I had no idea that Edward Norton was behind all of that, because I'm a big fan of his too. Love a lot of films that he's in.
Me too. I love the guy.
But it's but I mean, I can see that, because it's a complicated character. I mean, there's one side of him that's very intellectual, and then there's the other side of him that's like completely caveman, you know, just wants to tear and break things and pull things apart. So I think, you know, that's a very challenging character for an actor, because you're constantly two sides and one side is fighting the other. I mean, that's the part that I saw in Infinity Wars when it came to Hulk, and that's very hard to show. I agree with you. Like, why did it have to be in Infinity War? But I guess they decided to put it there. But that's what I saw. I saw that after, you know, Hulk had the experience with Thanos, it was like he finally had somebody at his caliber. So now it was like a part of him wanted to hide and the other part wanted him to be brought out. And I don't think that was still well executed, because like you said, it was the only time that we've seen that throughout all the films, which that should have been done prior to that very pinnacle moment. But yeah, I see Edward Norton as being a great science person, you know, scientists in very scientific in detail. But I don't know. I think that, what's the other guy's name? I'm sorry.
Mark Ruffalo,
I think, does a good transition from moving into this kind of sensitive, kind of frail guy, really being kind of mixed up, you know, having these ones that, like, these kinds of emotions and wanting to be, you know, alone and just in his lab, but then really wanting to find control within himself of something that he really can't control.
And you did a good job with that in Avengers. Like, everybody always points out to me, I don't know if it was Jack or if it was Taylor, you know, like when they're first on the helicarrier and Bruce Banner's there and he meets Steve Rogers for the first time, you can kind of see that he's avoiding the soldiers. Like, he'll be walking and some soldiers or some members of SHIELD will walk towards him, and then he kind of turns his back and he walks away because he's nervous to be amongst people.
Yeah.
That something might happen. And I thought that was really a nice way of portraying him, that he's got to deal with that all the time, that's something, some stupid little thing, like he might trip and fall onto the soldier or something like that, and the soldier might slug him, and then the next thing you know, he turns into the Hulk. So I liked how he portrayed the character in Avengers, but I just think that he kind of lost me. In Ultron, I thought he was horrible. And then in Ragnarok, I thought he was a mess. And this one, he's not very good. The next one, though, he's very good, which I was glad he kind of redeemed himself. But I don't think he's a good Bruce Banner. I would rather, yeah, I'm like you. I'm a fan of Edward Norton. I love Fight Club.
Yes. And,
but I think that he's kind of like a Russell Crowe. He got too popular too soon, and I think he got a big head. And because if you notice now, he's not in that many movies anymore, because he's gotten this reputation that he's difficult to work with. But it sucks because he's a friggin' awesome actor. And but I guess it's his own fault too. You know, hopefully he'll get a second chance and we'll see more of him. He's still kind of young, I would say. He's younger than me.
I like a lot of Wes Anderson films.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Have you seen Moonrise Kingdom?
I did. Yeah.
He was great in that.
He was very good in that.
He was great at playing that quirky Eagle Scout and like doing all the comedy, but then trying to like lead. That was a good role too.
Yeah, that's definitely, it's funny. I think I saw that recently on Amazon Prime. And after I saw that, I started watching a bunch of Wes Anderson movies because I was like, I like that movie. I like that style. And I forgot what other ones I had watched.
Budapest Hotel?
I didn't watch that one.
Oh, that's my favorite. You got to check it out.
I should just rent it. I keep waiting for it to come on one of these streaming services.
I know it's off topic, but I mean, it's good for the listeners because I don't know if they've ever done this, but the Budapest Hotel is always going to be a memory in my life because it was actually the very first and only film that I went to a theater completely by myself and watched the whole film and had like a bucket of popcorn and just enjoyed it. So I never forgot that because it was the only time. I've always, you know, gone with friends and family, you know, and this was like the only film I went by myself and it was just wonderful.
I do that all the time. I mean, I like going with my friends, but a lot of times it's kind of nice going by yourself.
It is.
I saw Spartacus. At the Ziegfeld Theater in Manhattan with two friends of mine. And one of my friends would not shut up during the whole movie. I just wanted to kill him. And I hadn't seen it before. And he kept telling me what was going to happen next. And I just wanted to strangle him. I just kept saying, shut up, shut up. I just want to watch the movie. And he just wouldn't stop. But I didn't want to get thrown out.
You know, right.
Start, you know, rolling around in the aisles with him. But yeah, I hate people sometimes, like when you're in the theater and they're just constantly asking you questions. Or I remember one time I took her to go see Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, and she got bored and she started doing her nails in the movie. And I was so pissed.
Doing her nails?
Yeah, she started filing on them first and then she started painting them. And I was like, you gotta be kidding me. You gotta be kidding me. Because, you know, because it was something I was looking forward to.
Well, yeah, it's Indiana Jones.
And you could just tell she was bored out of her mind. And it's like, come on, show a little respect. I wouldn't do something like that, you know, to you. So yeah, sometimes it's better to go to a movie by yourself if you don't want to be annoyed by other people. So.
Well, and I wanted to point it out because I don't know if our listeners have done it, but if you haven't, you should definitely try it sometime and just go to a movie alone and just enjoy it.
Yeah, and then tell that person you usually go to the movies with, I'm glad you weren't there because I had a much better time.
And I got all the popcorn for myself.
So, yeah, no, I like this episode and... I hope this is the start of something good because the first two episodes I wasn't crazy about.
I'm looking forward to see what Jack thinks. That's going to be fun. I hope he likes it.
Yeah, because he said that if he doesn't like this one, he's giving up on the series, which I don't believe. But
yeah, come on. Nah, we got to keep going. We got to see what happens.
But he's a stubborn bastard. You know?
I'll poke that bear for sure.
Oh yeah,
we gotta see it through, you know. If we got through Loki, we can do this.
That's true. Now he had a problem with the Falcon and the Winter Soldier. I think he did. Towards the end, the last couple episodes, he really didn't like. And I did too. I agreed with him, but he still followed it through, so he's got to follow this through too. It's a good series. Anyway, I guess that's it. All right, let's wrap this one up. So Fedra, can you tell people where they can find you?
Sure, I'm on Facebook, Instagram, and you can email me at fedraekris@gmail.com.
Is it Ekris? I've been calling you Ekris.
It's okay, it's Ekris. Yes, Ekres.
All right. From now on, you'll be Fedra Ekris.
Thank you, Joe.
And if you want, you can email me at joe@wdwnt.com or send me a friend request on Facebook. Also check out Walt Disney World News Today, Disneyland News Today, as well as Universal Park News Today for all your Disney Universal news. And please visit the Carousel of Products, where there's a ton of fun WDWNT merchandise on sale. And finally, if you like our show and enjoy other WDWNT podcasts and would like to become a Patreon supporter, please visit the WDWNT Patreon page at www.patreon.com/WDWNT. So with that, this will be the end of WDWNT Nerd Alert Season 7, Episode 31. So until next time, see ya.
Have a good night.